Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing, relevant, real.
If you can't forgive others, I can't forgive you. Seems pretty harsh. Why was Jesus so tough on unforgiveness? I believe this is the reason. Because he knew how devastating unforgiveness can be in our lives and how devastating it can be to people. It can destroy relationships, friendships, marriages, families, churches, cities, and even countries. Think of the battles that have been fought because of unforgiveness. Pride, and when bitterness gets involved in there. And so we're going to go more into that. But Jesus gives us a cure for that in his prayer. And I want us to just briefly touch upon those this morning. The remedy or the cure of how we can fix these things in our life. First of all, is to make forgiveness a daily routine. Jesus said, as in this pattern, in this blueprint of prayer, he says, when we are to come before God, saying, God, forgive us of our sin. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we are to come to God with our sin, with our confessions, but we are also to forgive our debtors. And he almost makes it seem like it should be a routine thing within our lives. I mean, can you go a week without somebody offending you? I mean, maybe even a day? I mean, people have bad days. They say things they're not supposed to. We have bad days. We say things we're not supposed to or do things. It's part of life. And so I think what he's getting at here is that we need to get in the mindset of forgiving and having that attitude going into life that we're just going to be a forgiving type, that we're not going to hold on to things. And just as I come before God to receive strength and guidance and to avoid temptation, I'm also to come before him to seek forgiveness in my life and to extend forgiveness to others. You know, in that word, forgiveness or I'm sorry, you ever had that just kind of get stuck in your mouth? Kind of can't get it out. Ever had that happen? Yeah. But boy, we get past that. God can do some incredible things. And some of the best advice I've received, two of them. One is to travel light, and that's the title of the message, to travel light. In other words, don't carry around the burden of unforgiveness in our life. The longer you carry it, the heavier it becomes. It'll steal your joy, it'll steal your happiness, it'll steal your meaning in life. You know, and we carry that unforgiveness, and it becomes heavier and heavier each day we carry it. And it wears us out more than it wears the other person out. Right? Unforgiveness. So travel light. The other way I've heard it put is to keep a short list. In other words, just keep a short list of people that you need to forgive or haven't forgiven. And whenever that list, you get somebody on the list to take care of it. Sometimes it's your fault or maybe it's their fault. Whatever the case is, seek forgiveness and restore that relationship and move on. Now, keep a short list. You know, when you talk to some people, they don't have a short list. They have a long list. In fact, you get them talking, they say, you remember back in 06 and 05, and, you know, so-and-so did that to me. Oh, I'm never going to talk to them. Remember that? Have you talked to people like that? I know. None of you would ever do that. But I know that I've talked to some people that have. Man, they got, it's like it's engraved in their brain. All these things that have happened down through the years, and they remember every detail. You know what? We carry that stuff around, and it weighs us down. It steals our joy. It steals the peace that God wants us to have in our lives. And the problem is that I've seen is that unforgiveness really sticks up its head at the end of life. And I've known people that have carried unforgiveness towards a family member especially. And all of a sudden, unexpectedly, that person dies. And not only are they left with the tragedy of a loss of life, but now they're also left with the unforgiveness and probably even a lot of guilt because of the way they're feeling in their own life. And now, you know what? And that person's gone, and they have no way of resolving that within their own life because it hasn't been dealt with. And it's a tragic thing. I mean, there's still, you can still move on from that with God's help. But take care of those things. Keep a short list. Peter said, you know, Lord, how many times should I forgive? 7 times? That's found in Matthew 18. 7 times? Should I forgive him 7 times? That's pretty good, huh? He thought, man, he was, Jesus was going to go up to him. Well, I'm going to pick on you, Lonnie. He said, man, 7 times. Man, Peter, you are outstanding. You are the guy. And Jesus says, no, not 7 times, but 7 times 70. And what Jesus was saying is, there's no limit. We are to keep forgiving as much as needed to keep our list short, to keep our load light. Forgiveness should have no place within our heart. Are we going to be hurt? Absolutely. Absolutely. But we have to learn to deal with that and follow the pattern that Jesus gave us because he understood of how devastating unforgiveness can be in our life. So travel light and keep a short list of that unforgiveness, because if you don't, it'll steal your joy and your peace that God wants to give you. Make it a routine. Secondly, forgive as God has forgiven you. You know, some things are easier to forgive than others. You know, a simple offense, somebody calls you a name or they lose their temper. Some of those things can be forgiven fairly easily. Some things are pretty deep. Real deep. They hurt us pretty deeply. Or things happen in our life. Some things are not easy to forgive. What do we do then? I believe we still go back to what Jesus has to say, that we have to forgive, and that he has promised to give us the strength that we need to forgive, even at the greatest levels. It goes on just a little bit more, and you can watch it on YouTube if you want to. But that's a pretty incredible story. A lot of you have maybe heard this song, Forgiveness, on the radio by Matthew West. But to lose a child, a daughter, that's a pretty deep hurt, wouldn't you agree? If there's an unforgivable sin out there, that probably is right at the top of the list. And yet, over time, God began to work in her life. And as she forgave the unforgivable, not only did God probably heal her own life, but he also set this young man free. And through that, he found Christ. And together, the lives that they are touching and changing has become a ripple effect. And they're touching lives probably every week as they share their story. See, that is the power of forgiveness. Unforgiveness creates a lot of bad stuff in our life. But forgiveness can do some incredible things for the glory of God. Can do some incredible things. Forgive as God's forgiven you. There's a third thing. You're going to hear the song later here as we close. But the third one is to live in the freedom that God provides. God has shown us how to live free, to live unencumbered lives. Unforgiveness hurts us more than it hurts others. And the only way that we can break free and receive healing is to forgive others that have wronged us and that have hurt us. It is only then that we can move in the freedom that God wants us to have, the peace and the grace that he's called us to have. You know, as I was doing this message, sometimes I hate doing a message on forgiveness. And the reason is because I remember some of the hurtful times in my own life. Okay? And there's been some that have just been pretty deep and have hurt. And as I was preparing this message, one of the things growing up that was just kind of a difficult time is growing up in a home. And my folks both came from kind of difficult homes. Homes where both their fathers were alcoholics and lived out in different ways, but not only in very healthy ways. And my mom and dad made a new start. They found Christ and raised a Christian home. But my dad, he did have a temper, and he had a good role model in that area with his dad, and it's something that he's not proud of. But there were some times, you know, I think as a child, when you're disciplined for doing wrong, you accept it, as long as it's within moderation and appropriate. But at times when you're treated unjustly, as a parent loses maybe their temper or things like that, those things can be pretty hard to deal with. And what I realized, even into my adult life, that I began to realize that there was a wall between me and my dad. We got along, we hung out, and was never hostile or anything, but I realized that I was keeping him at a distance. And the big reason was because it was just some of those things that happened in my teenage years and middle school years, some of those things that were just still so vivid in my mind, and they were bothering me. And, Dad, I'm going to have you come. And it's just kind of by chance that he's here today. I had included this in my message. I called him, and he decided that he was going to drive up early from Mitchell, South Dakota, to be here. And we're hoping to spend some time this week. But I think it's even after we moved here, I just said, you know, we just sat down and kind of had a hard conversation one day. And I just brought it up. And I think he realized that his temper had been an issue, but he hadn't realized how much it had affected us. And after he talked to me, he talked to my sisters as well. But I'm just going to let him share just the effect it had in his own life.
It's not a coincidence that I'm here. I've been planning this hunting trip, archery hunting with Brent, and he said this coming week would be a good week. As I got a little closer, I decided, it'd be great to get up early and just get down there and get in on a church service. I didn't know what any of this was going to go on here. So as I was traveling, I was kind of rehearsing my childhood. Like Brent said, I had an alcoholic dad on my wife's side. Her dad drank, but he wasn't violent. My dad, when he drank, he turned very evil. Ran us out of the house at the age of 11. Cold February morning in North Dakota. I woke up to hear people talking, having a conversation, and then I heard the crack of a shotgun. So not only did I lose my mom at that age in such a violent way, but they also took Dad, put him in jail. After which he gave his heart to the Lord, and he asked us to forgive him. And still once in a while I come up and I'm resentful because life could have been so different if Dad would have served the Lord and he had the opportunity. My mother was a Christian. But as life went on, you know, you hear the phrase that I was born or inherited a violent temper or hot temper, chairman temper. Well, that's a curse. It's not a blessing of any kind. And growing up under that circumstance, I didn't realize that I was very inferior, felt inferior, and self-esteem is low. And, you know, when your self-esteem is low, one of the first things you want to do is make sure everybody else is, that you can correct everybody else and pull them down a little bit below you so you don't feel inferior. And I didn't realize that I didn't know how to say I was sorry. And when I do stuff, you know, I just wouldn't apologize when I knew I was wrong with my family. And I was very thankful that I married a fine Christian wife and who's been just a real support for me and stuff. And different times she tell me, says, you know, you need to apologize to the kids. But I never would, you know, and just put on a facade that everything was going good. Till Brent called me one time and he told me, he says, you know, this is what's come across. It wasn't so much that you disciplined us when we needed, that was okay. But when you did things that weren't right, you never would say sorry. And that turned my life around. And I'm so thankful that I've got a son that had the backbone to face up to Dad and just to call me on the carpet, so to speak. And as I thought about it, I knew it. And I went and apologized to not only to Brent, but to my two daughters, my wife, a couple of my nephews that I worked real close, and some other people that I'd worked with, and I looked back and how rude I was and that my violent temper fly. And I tell you, it's You know, kicking a temper is maybe as bad as kicking any habit. You know, you just got to work at it. Because the minute you think it's all okay, it'll flare up if you're not careful. And again, I'm so thankful for Brent and Amy. You know, they just compliment each other so well. And I always tell Amy she's my favorite daughter-in-law. She's the only one we got. But I'm so thankful that I see what they're doing and the work they're doing and what they're doing with their boys. I'm thankful that I got three offspring to carry on the name after Brent. And anyway, I'll turn this back to Brent. But again, son, I'm so proud of you.
I appreciate him just being vulnerable. And I'm going to have the musicians come. And we're going to close with that that video that referred to earlier, the song Forgiveness. And maybe God needs to work in your heart and your life. We can talk about forgiveness, but ultimately it's God that has to help us. He's not going to ask us to do something that we can't do. And so when our strength is gone or we can't push past that, he has promised to be sufficient to help us. Amen? And sometimes it's a process. I don't think Renee was able to forgive overnight, but it had to be a process where God worked in her life and gave her the grace and the love for this young man that she didn't know until he killed her daughter in that car accident. But God gave her the grace and the love to even not only forgive, but to make them part of their family. Isn't that incredible? It's incredible. But see, that's the power of forgiveness. And even just in a relationship, you know, I see it so much in families. Things happen. Sometimes intentionally, but I find out a lot of times it's not intentional. Sometimes we grow up with stuff, and that's what's been patterned for us and modeled for us all of our life. It's not an excuse, it's just the way it is. And but even God can heal that, and just the freedom that comes from that. I think it just opens up so many doors for closer relationships. You know, forgiveness takes many shapes and forms. Sometimes it's forgiving a family member, friend. Sometimes it's forgiving ourselves. Others forgive us, but sometimes we have a tough time forgiving ourselves or sometimes the things that we've done. And so it takes many different shapes and forms. And if God is speaking to you this morning, would you just allow him to work in your life and transform and follow his leading? Maybe I believe this message was maybe just for one person, maybe it was for all of us, but God had a divine appointment, I know, for at least one person. And God wants to set you free. He wants to bring a joy in your life that you haven't experienced for a long time. He wants to set you free. Father, this morning, we've heard from your word. It seems kind of tough to forgive as you've forgiven us. And if we can't forgive, says you won't forgive us. And that seems harsh, God. But God, you know the devastating consequences of unforgiveness, how it wreaks havoc in our lives, in our relationships. And you just don't have any tolerance for it. So God, give us the grace that we need, the strength to travel light, to travel free. Because after all, it's our benefit you care about. You don't want us to carry all that garbage. You want to set us free. To enjoy your grace, your goodness, and your peace. Lord, this morning that is my prayer. Set us free. Set us free. Bless our relationships. Restore relationships, Lord, that can be restored. Bring healing where we thought it was impossible, God. God, make our relationship stronger, whether it's in the body of Christ or in our families. Across the board, Father, root out that unforgiveness. Set us free. Would you stand this morning?